Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Oh yeah, he's back. The crack of the bat, the ping of the crossbar, and the roar of the crowd. We cover everything you want to talk about. It's the Rod Peterson Show.
Good morning, Canada, and away we go. Hey, whoa. Here we are. Welcome. Look at that. Just checking to see if you're awake out there. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show, everybody. Rod Peterson with you, the host, and the co-host is Darren DuPont. Is it just me that saw the blackout?
No, it's like a plane taking off, and then you're just not sure.
And we are in flight, Jerry. Welcome to episode 170 of the Rod Peterson Show, Canada's only live morning sports talk show, coming at you this morning. And don't be fooled by the Dallas Stars tracksuit. It's not going to be all hockey today. I'm excited about the guests that we're going to have. My good friend Matthew Barnaby from SiriusXM NHL Radio, the former NHL pest and pugilist, will be with us. I'm very excited about that. Got a lot of hockey things to get through. Chris Dingman will be with us, the former Brandon Wheat King, Tampa Bay Lightning Stanley Cup winner, now a Lightning analyst. He'll be joining us from the Sunshine State. Ben McIntosh of the Saskatchewan Rush, because it's home game week for the Rush, Colorado Mammoth in town Saturday. And joining us at the bunker coming up in segment two, Global Regina's Taylor Shire, our director of officiating. And yes, we're going to get into fighting in hockey. We're going to get into the Leafs implosion last night. We're going to get into the Battle of Alberta. But we got a lot of football to get to here in the rollout for flooring superstores. And cheap sponsor mention, I can do it. I'm not sure Taylor can. You can, because we're the bosses.
Oh, yeah.
Ben Cahoon. G2G bar. All the boys are running on G2G protein bars this morning. And I'm trying to lose 30 pounds. I think this is going to be my ticket.
That's the ticket.
This is the ticket. G2G protein bars. Ben Cahoon is the Canadian sales rep for that company. And they're very good. This is the almond coconut. What did you have, Taylor?
He can't remember. Chocolate, coconut.
Peanut butter, coconut. Look, he's losing weight already, I can tell.
I'm full.
He doesn't have any weight to lose.
He didn't have a lot to lose. But thank you, Benny Cahoon. And thanks for all that you do. So let's get to the quick six show topics, okay?
Yeah.
And then get into... and then the poll and all the rest. Streveler to the Arizona Cardinals. We chopped this up a little bit yesterday, but Janice on Twitter last night brought up a really good point that everybody's saying. Chris Streveler goes to the Arizona Cardinals, a third-ring quarterback, and Bull Levi Mitchell can't? Hold on to your bingo cards. We'll come back around on that. It's a really good question.
It's
got people talking. Point two, were you offended by the halftime show of Super Bowl 54? I wasn't. I know you weren't. Had to pick your tongue up off the floor. But John Chick went off on Facebook. Did you see his seven-minute rant? Disgusting. Pornographic. Had to take my kids away from the television. I just want to ask if other people were offended by the Grey Cup halftime show. I was not. Very simply, and I love John like family. He is family. What did I say? Super Bowl. What did I say? Grey Cup?
Yeah.
Sorry. Super Bowl halftime. If you don't like it, change the channel. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
Yeah. It's not the only channel on TV.
No, like if you're offended, change the channel. John, I love you, but if you're offended, you got to get over these things. Woo-sah. What you can't control, right? You can't control anything but your attitude. That's it. And the light switch. Point four, the Winnipeg Jets have terminated or are going to terminate the contract of Dustin Byfuglien. Did you see that?
Yes.
So I've been watching the coverage this morning. It was on either TSN or Sportsnet. They're saying Big Buff will have his contract terminated, which I think we all expect.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like he lost his drive. That's what we're hearing. But he's will become a free agent after his contract's terminated. Wouldn't it be dirty pool if he turned around and signed with another team?
Yeah, I don't know exactly what the relationship is with Winnipeg and Dustin. I know it's not a good one. There's a little bit of turmoil there. So perhaps, you know, he might want to play again. And the situation in Winnipeg just, you know, doesn't have that love for the game anymore. But yeah, it would be. It would be dirty. And it's going to affect what Winnipeg does, the trade deadline coming up later on this month. You know, they're asking, well, what are they going to do? Well, you really can't go house shopping. And this is the quote I heard. You really can't go house shopping until you know what you can spend. So you got to clear up this, you know, situation first. But Buff hasn't even skated, apparently. He hasn't even skated this year, so he's not in game shape. He hasn't been playing. So even if he does sign, he's a little ways away. He's probably 3-4 weeks away from playing anyway.
I'm more inclined to believe that he's done. When they terminate the contract, he's not playing NHL anymore. He's made $50 million reported in his career. Won his Stanley Cup. What else he got left to prove? But that's what's up in Winnipeg, and our viewers there may have another viewpoint on that. I'd love to hear it. It brings me into point five of the quick six show topics. James Wilder, does anybody care but me? He asked for his release from the Argos, gets it, and then signs with the rival Montreal Alouettes. I don't know what the dollar figure difference was there, but is this the where we are now in 2020, that you can just ask to be released and go to your competition? Because I think anybody in society would like to do that if you could.
Well, when you're asking for your release, yeah, I mean, it's not necessarily to sign with the competition. I mean, we had James Wilder on the program, and he talked about the situation with Corey Chamberlain and how he kind of fell out of favor with the coaching staff. This was a long time ago, and now it's, you know, kind of being brought up again. But that was kind of breaking to us when he said that on this program, but that he wasn't happy. But he wasn't being utilized. It's not like he was the starting running back there, didn't like the situation, and left. He was, you know, being asked to play special teams when he was coming off the injury, wasn't getting any touches. So he's like, look, I don't want to be here anymore if you don't want to value me as a running back. And so he found somebody who does.
It's kind of like Jalen Ramsey asking for his trade out of Jacksonville.
Yeah.
He didn't ask for his release. He asked for a trade. This stuff's been going on forever. I just wondered is everybody going to be like that? Because that would cause a problem.
Yeah.
If everybody wants off a bottom feeder.
Well, tell me.
It's not really supposed to work like
in
that.
In your day in hockey and in your dad's day, like, did this happen?
No.
Guys asking for releases? No. It's changed.
It was in the 90s. And Al House Tour. Al Tour. The great Al Tour, who's now a pro scout for the Florida Panthers. We were just sitting around shooting the fat. And he said, you know, it used to be an honor to wear the jersey. Now it's an option.
Yeah.
And that was in junior. And so this is what it is now. And it's not changing. But back when we used to sit around and talk with the coaches like that. So that's where we are now. But that's my point. Is Wilder a precursor of things to come? Because I think that it is.
Players have a much bigger voice now than they ever have. And, you know, starts with the unions for sure, with the players union. But, you know, they just have a much louder voice. Players can come together and complain and can get coaches fired. Right. That never was even an option. Players would be gone long before the coach would be gone. And now they're requesting trades. They have a little bit more to do there. So, and now you're seeing even teams when it comes to players, even as far back as Leon Draisaitl, when he came back to Prince Albert, demanding where players go. It's a much bigger business than it ever used to be.
I love when people chime in with where they are watching from. We've got Burns Lake, BC. Good morning, Devin. We've got Greg in Okotoks, Alberta, home of the Oilers. Viewers can see his picture on the screen. Drew Koser says he's watching from the office before they go out for their morning skate. Storm playing tonight?
It must be.
They must be morning skate. Thanks, guys. Appreciate that. And point six of the quick six, I got to say thank you to the BC Lions. And I mean from the bottom of my heart, thank you. This package came in the mail yesterday. A lot of really cool things. The piece de resistance, I'll get to. One, this absolutely gorgeous BC Lions Dante Marsh jersey. And Dante's a friend of the show. He's been on before. How gorgeous is that?
Oh, it's awesome.
Tyler's come out from his cage, our sales guy, to have a look at what we got here. Number two, for the desk, a Mike Riley bobblehead doll.
Ooh.
This from the BC Lions, everybody. This is happening.
I wondered. I thought maybe he wouldn't be holding a helmet. It'd be a top hat or whatever he wears.
That would be good.
The fancy top hat. But.
And Wally Buono's media pass from the last ever game at Taylor Field.
Whoa.
Remember what a night that was?
Whoa.
Darian, George, Gino, Roger. Wally Buono, from his side of things, Wally Buono's, not, I guess it wouldn't be a media pass, it would be accreditation as the head coach of the BC Lions. So I can't thank you enough, Matt, and the people at the BC Lions office for adorning our desk. I think this is the first guest we've received from a CFL team.
From a team.
Very so, cool. So thanks, guys. So many nice things are happening to me. I'm very grateful for it. This, the Vegas Golden Knights thing, my mind is really starting to drift to Las Vegas next week and going there to hang out with the Golden Knights for a few days. So all I can say is thank you. Really appreciate it. Now, to come back around on the Strebler to Arizona thing, and why is it not Bull Levi Mitchell? My take is simply this. Bull Levi and Strev are at two very different points in their career. Strebler is, what, 25? Bo's 28, 29. He's on his, well, I think his third contract. Strebler's just finishing his first. Strebler's going to Arizona with no expectations, it seems to me, and a $100,000 bonus. Probably way more than he was making as the third-string quarterback with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. I totally get what Janis is saying. How does Bo Levi not get a deal in the NFL and Strebler gets a $100,000 deal? Well, Bo's making, restructured contract aside, $700,000-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Even with the exchange, that's a hell of a lot more than what the Cardinals were giving Chris Strebler. And Bo wants an assurance. Did you watch This Is Us last week? There was a phrase in there. Never settle. Bo's not going unless he gets it all.
Yeah.
And Strebler is in a different situation in his career and in his life. Am I right? That's what I think.
Completely. He's in a completely different place. Chris Strebler's in a place where he can take a chance, where he can earn some time. Bo's doesn't really have the luxury to go and sit on the bench somewhere and wait and grow into a starting quarterback. Maybe a couple of seasons, but that's about it. Yeah, he wants to go and know that he can compete as a starting quarterback. Chris Strebler is going as kind of a tool, multi-tool, as an athlete who can maybe do a few more things than Bo Levi can. That's the difference. You know, neither one is going down there to turn a team around and be a starting quarterback or to even throw the football. But when it comes to how you can be used, Chris Strebler just has more tools in the toolbox than Bo Levi does.
Chad Isaac, one of our viewers, writes in and says, Bo demanded to be a starter. Strev is just hoping he makes it. I think you're close. I think Bo Levi wants a chance to be the starter, right? Why he didn't sign with the Minnesota Vikings. I just get this sense from Strebler that he's just happy to be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, $100,000 at his age? Sure. I think with Bo, because I was seeing this stuff on message boards and social media when I said, I get where Bo's at. And people were saying, oh, Rod, are you comparing your life to him? Blah, blah, blah. Well, in a way, I am. And you know this. I've had the offers from TSN and Sportsnet, but I got a family of five to feed, or at the time I did. And Bo's got a family of four to feed. Strebler's young and free and easy, right? Bo's got bigger considerations. That's all. So that's where I see where Bo's coming from. And, you know, as I've said to you before, you generally can't have both family or chase the career. You're very lucky if you can. It's pretty rare. So I get where Bo's at. He's at an older stage in his life. He's got more responsibilities than Chris Strebler. Strebler's going to Arizona, which, by the way, brings up our poll question today. And I don't know, Clark, how we're going to do this, because yesterday we couldn't get the... Oh, and by the way, when I say I had a family of five to feed and those offers from TSN and Sportsnet, they were for chicken feed. That's why I say, never settle.
Yeah.
Bo's going for the whole enchilada or he's not going at all.
Yeah.
I get that.
And he wants to play.
Because mine was the same. Yes, wants to play. He wants a guarantee. How's that?
Yeah.
And Strebler's not getting a guarantee. He's not going to challenge Kyler Murray to be the starting quarterback of the Arizona Cardinals. So on that vein, the poll question today for Capital Automall Universal Collision Center is... which CFL grad stands a better chance of sticking in the National Football League? There, thank you for putting this up. Here's the Facebook poll. My options are from the Las Vegas Raiders, Derek Moncrief, from the Chicago Bears, Trey Roberson, from the Las Vegas Raiders, William Stanback, or from the Arizona Cardinals, Chris Strebler. If you had a vote of those four, who would you
Trey Roberson. They're saying that deal is the most lucrative financially of all the deals from CFL players going to the NFL since Cameron Wake. So for me, I'm going Trey Roberson as my most likely to stick.
Well, the voters on Facebook are going with Derek Moncrief.
Yeah, I can see that too.
53.8% of respondents are saying Derek Moncrief stands the best chance of sticking in the National Football League. And I'm talking about just playing in 2020. Not being cut and coming back at Labor Day, like generally happens. But Moncrief did not get a $100,000 bonus like Chris Streveler. That's what makes this so fun to talk about.
Right. And with that, and you mentioned it yesterday, it's not chicken feed. They don't just throw money away in the NFL. So in that sense, Chris Streveler's almost, you know, he's already got the go straight past, you know, training camp. You've earned a spot on the team.
Well, it's one reason why I enjoy a booze take and when we have the pros in, because they can explain it more. Fans just think because it's the NFL and they make $75 million a game on gate revenue that they just throw money around willy-nilly. They don't. And as he pointed out yesterday, that $100,000 is highly accounted for. They're not giving him that money and a free plane ticket as a bonus. They got plans for him.
Mm-hmm.
So we will have that poll up for the next 23 hours or so. But right now, Derek Moncrief leads by our listeners who are voting. Who stands the best chance coming out of the CFL, sticking in the NFL? Derek Moncrief leads 53.8%. Trey Roberson's next at 36.1%. Chris Streveler at 6%. And William Stanbeck at 4%. We're bringing in our director of officiating, Taylor Shire. Like I said, a lot of hockey guys on today, Matthew Barnaby, Chris Dingman, but I'm not averse to the football talk either, if that's what everybody wants to get into. This has been the rollout for Flooring Superstores, and the Dickin family will be right back with a sports update. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
2020 has officially arrived. It's time to trade and upgrade at Capital Ford Lincoln. Trade up on a brand new 2019 F-150 Super Crew 4x4. They're starting at just $34,999 plus tax. That's savings up to 30% off. Plus, get 19% off all remaining new 2019 Ford Escapes. 4x4s are starting as low as $25,999 plus tax. Happening for a limited time at Saskatchewan's 2019 number one Ford store, Capital Ford Lincoln in Regina.
Direct West provides us with stats and analytics, and it's amazing for us to look and see that, you know, each year we're 10 to 20% higher on our Google leads. It's great to see the success that our locations are having. The Direct West app gives us an opportunity to be in one place for people to find any of our locations or our commodities. Without Direct West, we would have to be in multiple digital places. I would recommend Direct West. They're great to work with.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. Time for a Tuesday morning sports update. The Maple Leafs lost their starting goalie and eventually the game. Frederik Andersen had to leave after only a period of work in Toronto's 5-3 home loss to the Florida Panthers with what the team says is an upper body injury. Mark Pesek potted his first career hat trick as Florida scored three times on 13 shots against backup Michael Hutchinson. Mark Pesek's a good one. You remember him with the Oil Kings.
Oh, yeah.
Very good player. Obviously very good against Toronto last night. Brian Elliott only had to make 16 saves for his second shutout in three starts as the Philly Flyers blanked the Detroit Red Wings 3-0. And Joe Pavelski scored two power play goals 16 seconds apart. And the Dallas Stars went on to beat the New York Rangers 5-3. The WHL announced that PA Raiders goalie Max Paddock has been named the WHL Goalie of the Week for the week ending February 2nd. In two games, Max recorded a pair of wins while maintaining a .50 goals against average, stopping 35 of 36 shots, recorded a shutout. At 7-0-1-3 in their past 11, the Raiders have returned to the top spot of the WHL's East Division, opening up a four-point lead on the Winnipeg Ice. And that is your morning sports update for Ballers Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination. And today, their lunch special is the Dudney Strip Steak.
Ooh, the steak.
$12.95. Yeah. You tell me where you can get a steak in this town or any town for $12.95. Only at Ballers today. for lunch as we welcome in Taylor Shire, our director of officiating from Global Regina. How are you, Taylor?
I'm doing great.
Before I forget, I have a gift certificate for you here from Baller's Rec Room.
Nice.
So have lunch on us.
Okay.
Maybe eating steak on us, man. Living high on the hog. Darren, the Leafs implosion last night, please give it your assessment.
That wasn't good. It wasn't good. That's somebody mentioned that that might be that's one of the toughest losses they've had since the Game 7 loss. And it's probably real. I mean, they're in such a battle to try and get into the playoffs, and the division's so tight and the conference is so tight, and there's so much parity anyway in both conferences and all of hockey. Like the line between getting in and getting out of the playoffs is so paper thin. And then to lose Freddie Anderson in that hockey game, and they just imploded. Yeah, it was a tough one.
You don't seem as upset as most Leaf fans. On Twitter. Are you hiding it well?
I don't get that upset. I mean, but it is. It's a big deal, especially when you have a lead like that. But Florida's a good team. And if you remember back to the beginning, I picked Florida in the Stanley Cup final. Them to go to the Stanley Cup final. So I think they're going to get in. But yeah, Toronto's got to be able to close out those games. That's for sure.
Pausing the hockey talk for a moment, Dale Wagner writes in, says, "Hey, Rod, I was hearing rumors on social media yesterday that Jack Evans was close to being re-signed by the Riders yesterday. Have you heard anything? Because I know you're in the know." Ha, ha, ha. That rumor has been out there for a month, Dale. So just hold tight. Riders are doing what they can. This is the one thing about the Rider Nation that annoys me a little bit. First, it was the coaching staff. When are they going to announce their coaching staff? Then they do. When are they going to sign this guy? When are they going to sign Cam Judge? Then they do. When are they going to sign Shaq Evans? Like, woosa. Calm down, man. Like, Jeremy O'Day will get it done. There's no better GM in the league as far as I'm concerned. He'll get it done. Any thoughts on that, Taylor, before I go to Battle of Alberta?
Well, this new free agent window that's opened, right, this eight-day window is allowing these players to hear other offers. I imagine that's what Shaq Evans is doing right now. Jeremy O'Day would have extended him an offer, and now Shaq's going to wait and see what his value is across the league, and that's probably what he's doing, and then he'll make a decision where he wants to go based on the best contract offer.
The way I've read the Cam Judge thing, interesting that he signed 5, 6, 7 hours into the window opening, seemed to me like he saw some offers coming from teams, weren't what he liked or expected or wanted, and signed back with the Riders for what was the best deal. That's the way it looks to me.
Yeah, that's the way it seems. And the interesting part about this free agent bidding window almost is that if you're any team across the league, you can't just toss out contract offers to everybody. Because then if they start accepting it, you're going to be in a bit of trouble because you're going to have 15 guys at way too much money. So you got to pick and choose where you want to spend your money and how many guys you want to reach out to. Because if 100% come back, you're going to be way over the salary cap.
Yeah, I'm with you on the Cam Judge thing. I mean, the understanding is that deal was kind of in place, or there was a bit of an understanding in place before the window opened. But, even if he was looking at some offers, I'm assuming that it's in a position where, I'm in a really good situation. Mm-hmm. I had a career year. I've got great coaches around me. It's a great environment. This is where I want to be. So if these offers that come in over the first couple of days, not just they don't have to be more, they got to knock my socks off. And if they knock my socks off, then I'm going to entertain them. But if it's, $10,000 more or something like that, I mean, you look at that and think, okay, I'm getting a fair deal. Let's get it done.
Or he says, he goes back to O'Day and says, hey, here's what other teams are offering me. I really want to stay here. Can you help me out a little bit? Maybe the offers were better, but he wants to be here. So he said, hey, here's what other teams are offering me. Bump me up a little bit and I'll re-sign right now.
That seems very likely too.
Right. Yeah.
Now, just ahead of Matthew Barnaby joining us from the nation's capital, Taylor is our director of officiating. He is an ordained SHA official. So the Battle of Alberta, I just assumed you were anti-fighting every other referee, but you're saying you're not.
Fighting has its purpose in any league, whether it's, not minor hockey, but...
Or football.
No, but we're talking hockey. And football and basketball and all that. I don't think it does, but certainly in hockey. And I think the Battle of Alberta, it needed that fight on Wednesday with Tkachuk and Cassian. It just needed it. And then to see the explosion on Saturday night, the goalie fight, the kind of... line brawl. You don't really see full line brawls anymore.
Nope.
That was the first time.
And not goalie fights.
Yeah, and not goalie fights. It was the first time. But fans are talking about it. People are talking about it. And as officials, you really don't have any choice about if these guys are going to go or not, right? You let them, if they want to go, if there's willing combatants, you let them go. So that's how I see it as an official. I don't have a stance. I'm not going to go and say you can't fight. If they want to go, if both guys want to go, they're going to go.
Well, I got in a pretty big argument with blog readers because my Monday morning goalie column returned yesterday after a 2-year hiatus, after being pulled for 2 years. After being David Riddick'd for 2 years, the Monday morning goalie is back. And I said, I just don't understand why fighting is deemed so evil. And we brushed on this a little bit yesterday. Guys like Bill Chow, Ron Robison, guys that run leagues, are hockey guys. And they're against fighting. And people, I put that in my column, and people were writing in saying, Wade Belak, Bob Probert, Todd Ewan, Derek Bougard. He forgot Rick Rippon. But I was kind of going back and forth with that guy, the reader, anonymous. No, actually, he did give his name. His name was Jim Leahy. I knew or was friends with all of those guys. And a lot of their issues were away from the game. Fighting didn't help.
Yep.
But that's not the reason they died, in my opinion. I don't think you can nail me to the wall for that. And I'm not saying I don't like 3 fights a game by each guy. That's not right either. But to do an outright ban on it, which is where I think it's going, isn't right either. And actually what you said, Taylor, was that there is a place in the game for fighting. You mentioned specifically the Battle of Alberta, but just in hockey overall, explain how you think there's a spot for fighting.
Well, it leaves accountability to a certain player. If he wants to take a cheap shot, he has to be accountable and stick up for himself, or his teammates have to stick up for himself. And that's where it is. If I take a run at somebody, I'm going to have to look and see who's going to come after me.
Or stick somebody.
Well, exactly, right? So there's accountability. I think that's where fighting is important, to leave that accountability, because how do you settle the score if a guy sticks a guy wherever in the face? How does that other team get even?
The pendulum swings, and when the pendulum swings, we often say it swings too far back the other way when we're trying to correct things in sports. And I know, you go back a certain way and things were policed. You know, in the Gretzky area, you had Dave Semenko, you had guys who were policing. And then every team started getting a guy. And as we move forward, you got more and more of that, but less and less hate in the game. And so there was less and less need, I think, for that designated tough guy. And so you started having these staged fights, and you had guys thinking, okay, who am I fighting tonight? Before you even know if the game's going to have any emotion in it, before you know if there's going to be any hate in the game. So then it became stage fighting, and that, it just doesn't look good. It didn't really fit in the game. It didn't really serve much of a purpose. So then it started becoming, blood sport, and I understand why we don't want that in the game. And when we talk about watching the highlights now, and teams are mandated to not put fights in the highlight package, I understand that too, and I probably agree with it, until it becomes part of the storyline, which is what happens in the Battle of Alberta. Right. There's so much emotion in the game, there's so much hate going on that it spills over, and you got to include that. There's such a place for that type of activity in the game and that fighting. I got time for that all day long.
But who decides who's right and who's wrong? And the NHL cut the fights out of their highlight package from Saturday night for that exact reason. That's why I wanted to bring on Matthew Barnaby, famed NHL pugilist. I believe he's referred to himself as a thug when we were chatting. Good morning, Barney. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you guys?
Very well, thank you. I was impressed that you stayed up late Saturday night watching your Twitter, watching the Battle of Alberta. You see the discussion that we're having here, and I'll get your thoughts on that. But what did you think about the game itself?
Well, I thought it was awesome. I can go back to Thursday. First of all, a lot of times, the game doesn't live up to the hype, and there certainly was a lot of hype, not only in Canada, where you would think Calgary and Edmonton, where it would be most prevalent, but around the National Hockey League, North America, anyone that was a hockey fan was tuning in and trying to find out exactly what went on. And what made it great was it was organic, and it was organic hatred between two teams in the same province. And obviously both teams that are playoff teams and at the same time are relevant in the National Hockey League. I think that's a big part of the storyline. You don't have one team that's way out of the playoffs and one team that's very good. So the organic hatred, I thought, was great. It lived up to all hype that was expected going in. And I thought it was great for the game. Anytime you have hatred between two teams, especially two teams that have had such a storied storyline for them, and over the years we've seen many five-on-five brawls and hatred just amongst them, it's great for the game.
Oh, Barney, if you were watching it, which you were, you would have seen they showed George Parris up in the press box. And honestly, when I heard he was in for the two games, I'm like, why are they doing this? This is, they're not 12. Let them settle it. And then he's there, and they fight anyways. So that, how does that make Parris and the NHL head office look?
Well, I thought it was a surprise that they did go in, and I've been involved with Philadelphia and the Toronto Maple Leafs, where they knew when we were coming into town how it was going to play out. And we were warned before the games. It didn't stop us. I just think it stops you from going over the line, taking cheap shots. They know there's going to be fights, or there is that opportunity. Hey, it's legal in our game. You get 5-minute major and you're back out. So I don't think you are going to stop that. I think the goaltenders going at it, Mike Smith coming to center ice, and obviously Talbot coming out and accepting that challenge. But they did an amazing job of creating a spark, having that hatred within the game, and also staying within the lines. There was nothing that was way over the top. There was no real cheap shots taken in the game. I think we can look at the Giordano one. I don't think it was malicious. It could have been very ugly. I probably would have handled it differently if I was McDavid or someone else on the Edmonton Oilers. But all in all, it was just good hatred, great for the game, and they stayed within the lines even with the big brass there.
Matt, we're all watching this Battle of Alberta, and it's just putting us back into this great memory, you know, of the hockey we've grown up watching. What did it do for you? Where did your mind go back to? What was the best kind of hatred rivalry that you were a part of?
Yeah, I think the Legion of Doom, and that's a great point. I listened to you guys earlier on. I was part of that era, and I was one of those guys that was part of the stage fighting. And a lot of that had to do with having an afternoon nap, knowing you had to fight Eric Lindros or Donald Brashear or George Larac all afternoon, and you wanted to get out of the way right away. So that's where I think a lot of the stage fighting happened. You knew you had to fight. In today's day and age, you don't have to. If Matthew Tkachuk didn't want to fight, he doesn't have to. We had to, or you got the living tar beat out of you and you just didn't defend yourself. So I think that's where a lot of it came. Do I miss it? Absolutely not. The game's never been in a better spot. I think what makes this Battle of Alberta and those two games is it's so out of the norm from what we see every night. And I don't want to see three fights every night. I like seeing organically, like it did happen, but it certainly does take me back to the mid-90s, playing against the Legion of Doom and Eric Lindros and Donald Brashear rolling into Toronto, knowing we had Brad May and Rob Ray, Bob Bugner, myself, and they had Ty Domi and Nick Kiprios and Ken Bobgartner, and you knew it was going to be ugly. You knew that whole week leading into that game how it was going to transpire, and you were just hoping to leave alive.
See, that's kind of what I mean with the pendulum. Maybe hopefully swinging back into this place where there's still a real place for it in an organic way, and you can have some sandpaper in the lineup. But do you think this is one and done? Like, this is going to be, you know, confined to the Battle of Alberta? Or do you think this is something we might see grow a little bit more hatred in the game?
I think it grows. I don't think it's going to get to that point like we saw on Saturday night. But I do think that there is a general hatred. And again, two teams are competing in the same division. They're in the same province. Like I said, they are so close to each other. The fan bases are so close. And I think guys like to be a part of something that's really big and that everyone watches, and everyone in Canada is watching. They're going to tune in to the next one. And, you know, when they play the last game of the year, I don't think anything happens there because you're probably going to be set in the playoff picture and it doesn't really play a spot. But if these two teams do play in the playoffs, you know, it's going to be hockey. But when games get out of hand, there's going to be message sending. I just think they're at that point there where there is general hatred. And when, you know, it isn't planned or it isn't staged, certainly it takes on a life of its own. But I do agree with you. If you don't like this kind of hockey or you don't like what you saw on Thursday or Saturday night, don't watch hockey because it was great for the game.
Barney, one memory lane trip, by the way. I don't remember if it was somewhere I heard you say or you told me about needing getting death threats in hotels on the road with the Sabres. It reminded me of needing a police escort into WHL games for me as the radio guy. I think that's why you and I hit it off. But when you can you tell about the stories of needing death threats? And I would think looking back, that was a hell of a lot of fun, or were you legitimately scared?
It was a hell of a lot of fun. I absolutely loved it. It was Philadelphia in the early 90s. I came in 93, 94 and really solidified myself in probably 96, 97. And we played Philadelphia a bunch of years. And, you know, we were just getting cell phones. I mean, we had it, but, you know, we still had the hotel phones where, you know, Philadelphia are the craziest fans in the world. They're absolutely insane. There's a reason why they had a jail, a makeshift jail in the football stadium with the Eagles, because they are absolutely nuts. But yes, I would get calls all night just saying if I walked in the building, I was going to get shot. And then they would be coming by your hotel all night long, beeping their horns, trying to keep you up all night long. So it was a crazy time. I was never scared. Obviously, I reported it to our security. And walking into the building, there's actually a perch up above where the visiting team walks in getting out of the cab or out of the bus. And I always wore a really crappy suit when I went into Philadelphia, because they would just douse me with beer and everything before the game. So, but I absolutely loved it. If they were cheering for Matthew Barnaby going into an opposing rink, I certainly wasn't doing my job.
No kidding. Good explanation. Anything else on your mind this morning? The Leafs implosion, or what else is on your mind today? What else are you going to be talking about today on the power play?
Yeah, there's a lot going on. The Leafs obviously are up close and up front and center this morning after having a 3-1 lead on Florida with no Barkov in the lineup. They dominated that game. Then Freddie Anderson, arguably their MVP the last year and a half, goes down. You're just hoping for him and Maple Leafs fans out there that he's going to be all right, because Hutchinson is just not a guy that can carry the mail. Look for them to do something February 24th if that doesn't happen. You look at Nashville in the Western Conference. Can they get on a roll? This is a team that's expected to win, but we see every day the standings are crazy, absolutely insane. With losing two games in a row, you almost fall out of a playoff position. You win three in a row, and you catapult up into top three in the conference. So should be a great end to this season, a big push from a lot of teams, but certainly a lot of surprises and a lot of teams. And like I said, having Edmonton and Calgary doing what they're doing, Vancouver what they're doing, it's been an exciting time for Western Canadian teams especially.
Absolutely, and we're right in the middle of it. Barney, as always, love it. Be listening for you later today. Thanks for the time.
Awesome. Keep up the great work, guys. Love being on.
Appreciate it. 14-year NHL veteran Matthew Barnaby joining us from his home, as you see, in Ottawa. Catch him every day, 4 to 6 Eastern, on the Power Play on Sirius XM Radio. We got a lot of text messages to get to on the Prairie Mobile text line, 306-840-8777 to get yours in, and we'll check those poll results as well when we come back. This is the Rod Peterson Show. You're watching on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
I've chased adrenaline my entire life. But I'm talking fourth quarter, monster hit, crowd losing it. Nothing beats the energy of a rush game.
At Prairie Mobile, you can get the phone you want when you want. All smartphones are $0 every day. With convenient locations across Saskatchewan, Prairie Mobile, your Sastel authorized dealer, has you covered. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody, to the old RP show on this Tuesday morning, episode 170 of Canada's only live morning sports talk show is right here. Coming to you from the bunker in Western Canada, where it was chilly this morning, did you notice?
Holy.
But it's warming up throughout the day and into the week.
Plus eight.
I know. Didn't last very long, did it?
Spoiled.
But next week, when I'm in Las Wages, it's going to be in the high teens. So I'm looking forward to that. Taylor Shire is with us, our director of officiating from Global Regina and the Dupes. Checking these Prairie Mobile text messages at 306-840-8777. Who's booby-trapping me by putting these upside down? Families trust Prairie Mobiles. That's where we get our phones from, and that's the truth. Anonymous texter writes in, says, Canadians love the NFL. 9.5 million viewers. I was reading that story today, or last night, I guess, on Three Down Nation, that the Grey Cup had 3.9 million on TSN, Super Bowl 9.5 million on CTV. Anybody that looks at that's going to say that Canadians love the NFL more than the CFL, and I don't buy that.
No.
But as somebody wrote this morning, I think it's on that column that I posted on my website, Stackhouses, if Bell Media really was interested in helping out the CFL, they'd put the Grey Cup on CTV too. Has it ever been explained why they don't do that?
That one, yeah, that one confuses me a little bit, because it would have similar numbers if it was on CTV. It's just in more households, right? It's available to more people.
You want to take a stab at that, Taylor, or you seem very uncomfortable with this discussion?
No, I just think the Super Bowl is a spectacle. You don't have to be a football fan to watch it. So yeah, you can say, oh, this many people like the NFL over the CFL. I don't think that's the case for the Super Bowl. I think if you're a CFL fan, you watch the Grey Cup. And even if you're a casual football fan, you watch the Grey Cup. But if you're not even a sports fan, you're going to be watching the Super Bowl. Whether it's for the game, for the halftime
show. Why can't
show,
the Grey Cup boast the same thing, though? It's a spectacle, too. Keith Urban at halftime.
It's just so different, though, based on the millions of dollars that goes into it.
It's right? Just, yeah, and it just comes down, I think, to a population thing.
Yeah, probably.
You know, with Canada.
Well, yes and no. 9.5 million Canadians watched the Super Bowl, so population shouldn't come in.
No, not strictly on the numbers of people watching. It comes down to population in terms of, okay, what, 30-some-odd million in Canada, you know, 300 million plus in the United States. So when you talk about the game, there are so many more people on a daily basis for the days, the hours, days, weeks leading up to talking about who's going to sing Star Spangled Banner, who's going to sing, you know...
That shouldn't translate to Canada, things. To Canadian numbers.
Sure, because all that American Twitter messaging, Facebook, news feeds, everything you see flooding your timelines about the Super Bowl, it's going to make you want to tune in. There's more promotion, more publicity. It's more in your face for the whole week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks leading up to it, that you just tune in to see, you know, what they're going to wear at halftime or what the spectacle is going to be. You hear more about the storylines. We just don't hear as much about the Grey Cup, about the teams, about the
personalities. But that's the media's fault.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, we're talking about in Canada only.
Right.
So if they're pumping the Super Bowl in your face as a Canadian, Bell is, then they should be pumping the CFL in your face too.
For sure. But it's not just Bell pumping it in your face. The whole United States is pumping it in your face in Canada, because we're exposed to all
other
of their
TV
cultural,
channels, you're saying.
All
yes,
of
yes,
their
yes.
cultural feeds.
Now I got you.
Yeah, everything. Whether it's social media, whether it's streaming, whether it's, you know, television, newspaper, everywhere.
Brady from Saskatoon's watching, writes in on the Prairie Mobile text line, 840-8777, says, I predicted the Super Bowl winner. Yes, we're aware, Brady. He's written me at least 87 times that he's got it right. Is it you too?
Yeah.
You had a 50-50 chance.
I had a 50-50 chance. But that's what happens, right? If not that this is happening to Brady, but you know, you do your thing. And when you get one right, you got to make sure everybody hears about it, right?
Goes on to say, Patty Mahomes was celebrating at Walt Disney World yesterday on a float with Mickey. I saw it on the highlights, and I'll say this. I used to wonder, how in the world did they get that quarterback to Disney World so fast? Or whoever the MVP was, and it's usually a quarterback. Pretty easy in Florida. You're driving from Miami to Orlando. But some of these Super Bowls, like New York to Orlando, did you ever wonder how they got there so fast?
They're on a red eye.
Because
right
I always did. Or a private jet,
how much
probably.
They slept, too.
Yeah.
If it's Chris Streveler, not at all.
Zero. Zero. But it was fun watching some of the guys on different shows, and they'd, you know, slept an hour, slept 2 hours, slept 45
so
minutes.
High too.
Yeah, it's like I tried to go to sleep, but how do you sleep after that? And Andy Reid was the best quote, because they asked him, because it's 21 years he's been in the game. He's been to how many Super Bowls? Been to a couple, right? With the Eagles, took them there, and he hasn't won it 21 years. And they said,
as an assistant, he did.
Okay, and they said, well, you know, you've been working at this so long. You must have. Did you sleep with the trophy? He's like, no, I didn't sleep with the trophy. I slept with my trophy wife, is what he said.
Good
so line. He's like, ooh, I wasn't with the
good
trophy.
Answer. So good answer.
He's a romantic. He's a romantic.
As they say on Family Feud. Good answer.
Yeah.
Oh, regarding losing weight, I'm still going to stick with the G2G protein bars, Ben Cahoon's company. But Kelly Bruce writes in on the Prairie Mobile text line, he was one of the winners at the Super Bowl party.
Yep.
He says, great evening and ballers. Thanks, Rod and Darren. Roddy, keto diet works. I'm down 64 pounds in 10 months. I'll take your word for it. I'm going to stay on the G2G diet and booster juice. I got to fit into my slim suits for Vegas next week and the beach in Mexico in a couple weeks. Metal Shingle Guy. This is a leftover from yesterday. This is at a boo. He says, holy frick, man, you sound like an old, bitter player. Alliance League was looking a lot like CFL caliber. XFL will bring along some guys that don't want to go to Canada, eh? That's from Metal Shingle Guy at Abu yesterday, who says he won't be watching the XFL because it's subpar football, nor would he watch the Alliance League. Abu had a particular bee in his bonnet yesterday, but that's why we have him here, right? To bring that.
Yeah.
But I'll watch it all. I will watch it all, and I'll enjoy it. XFL, Alliance, NFL, CFL, NHL, AHL, WHL. But the other day, I was mentioning this when Abu was here. They had a Laval-Syracuse American Hockey League game on, and I loved it.
Yeah.
You understand, as a hockey fan, can you put the camera on me for a second? I know that this won't do anything for the listeners, but if the NHL's here, the AHL's here, and the WHL's here, not in entertainment, but in quality of hockey, right? Mm-hmm. Why are we not carrying the American Hockey League on a regular basis on Canadian television? Not to mention, this morning on SportsCenter, I'm watching at home before I left the house, they've got women's NCAA basketball highlights on there. Can we not have Canadian Hockey League? That's not a sexist thing. I'm saying charities, put women's hockey highlights on. I don't care. But college basketball, women's or men's on SportsCenter. Or is that just me? Is that the small town podunk Casey of me?
No, it's
wanting hockey on a Canadian network?
Yeah, it's a big question. Taylor's more right in, you know, the line of fire and on the front line.
Yeah, let's throw him under the bus.
Than we are. No, in terms of, you know, deciding what goes on the highlight packages. And it's probably a, you know, a tough thing when you're at a network and you're trying to figure out, okay, what do people actually care about? What highlights
it's
are readily available?
It's not women's NCAA basketball.
What highlights are readily available and things like that. You know, the American Hockey League, we don't really have any idea who's in, you know, first place or second place or third place. Or
we
who's
know if
well.
It was on television.
We just know about the prospects who might be making it to the next level. You know, and with the CHL, those are all the next draft prospects. Now, with the basketball, I would assume those are only just now coming onto the radar of SportsCenter, college basketball. And only because March Madness is right around the corner. I would assume because they're going to be covering it, TSN's going to carry the games for men's for sure and some women's college basketball for March Madness, that they'll start to put the highlights on a couple of weeks leading up just to kind of wet your whistle.
I can see Taylor's mind's gear going, so one second. Joe Lazito on Long Island's watching, and he says, junior hockey equals college basketball, and you couldn't be more right. I've said it for years. And college football, frankly. The athletes are the same age. There's a fight over whether they should be paid workers or amateur workers. It's all very similar, Joe. You're right, and I've said that for years. But you, Taylor, in terms of what gets on a sports cast, what is your...
Well, for me, it's easy. It's all local. But in terms of the network, if you're a big network, how do you pick between 60 CHL teams and which highlights? You can't do them all, right?
Or hundreds of college basketball. It's Canada. I don't understand.
But I can see, as Darren said, you kind of try to promote the March Madness and the lead up to it. But on any given night, if there's 10 games in the Western League, 10 in the O, and 10 in the Quebec, you can't show all those games.
Yeah, it better be a scintillating match.
So you're going to, you know, and you see once in a while, the score was 11 to 10. We're going to show the highlights of that. Or, there was this crazy goal. They're going to show that. So, yeah, you can't be showing a 2-1 game in Swift Current on a Wednesday night.
Dale,
if nothing happened.
Dale is watching and says, I agree, Rod, 100% with you. Not women's NCAA basketball. Nobody cares in Canada. And before the politically correct comes after me with a pitchfork, my kids are female basketball players. One played college basketball. It is not that. I'm just saying, why are we showing this on SportsCenter, not Canadian junior hockey, because that's what I think is the backbone of Canadian sport. That's all that I'm saying. I don't understand it, and that's fine. Lots of time left here in hour one of the program. Taylor, you saw our quick six show topics. And for anybody that missed it, we got a care package, a gift package, come in the mail from British Columbia, and it includes this Mike Riley bobblehead doll. So I want to thank Matt and the BC Lions office for that, not to mention a Lions jersey and Wally Buono's pass. I'm not sure where I put it. We're going to hang it on the probably Legends Hall. It'll be a pretty good place for Legends Hall, a thing for Legends Hall. But Taylor, on Chris Streveler to Arizona versus Bo Levi, and the very apt question, how does a third-string quarterback get a six-figure deal in the NFL and Bo Levi Mitchell does not?
You guys were talking earlier, it has nothing to do with personalities, I think. And you guys are talking about, personalities. Bo wants this. He wants a guarantee, and Streveler just wants an opportunity. It has nothing to do with that. I think it just has to do with, as you were mentioning, Darren, the toolbox. How are they going to use Chris Streveler versus how are they going to use Bo Levi Mitchell? The Vikings were like, Bo Levi Mitchell, you're going to come in as a mentor and be a bit of a mentor. Well, if you're Bo, you want to play. But if you're Streveler, he's going to come in and potentially be a short yardage kind of an option to Taysom Hill of the Saints type of quarterback. So it's all about the opportunity and how you're going to be used.
That's similar to what we're saying, is it not?
But you were talking about, you know, Bo Levi Mitchell saying, I don't want to go down there because I might not play. Right? And you thought it had more to do. I got a sense that you guys were talking
about. Bo's never actually really said that at all. But what I think Bo's thing is, from my people in Calgary too, is that Bo wants a shot to start.
Right.
And Chris Streveler knows he's nowhere near. He's probably not even going to be invited to the quarterback meetings in Arizona. That's the difference in expectations. Bo wants to be the guy, a chance to be the guy, whereas Streveler knows he'll never be the guy.
But it's all about the opportunity, though, right?
I think it's very similar. Yeah. I think we're saying the same thing, actually.
Yeah, I just don't think egos have anything to do with
it. I don't think Bo's is ego at all.
Or the opportunity, the chance to be the starter or be the number one. Bo wasn't willing to settle for a number two or number three.
Is there anything wrong with that?
No, 100% not.
So that's where I don't think ego is the appropriate term.
Right, okay. Well, yeah, in terms of the money, it's Bo's making way more than Streveler made in the CFL.
But you think Streveler will be a quarterback in Arizona?
That'll be where he's listed on the depth chart, but he won't be necessarily used as a quarterback. He'll be used in a few different packages, whether it's sort of the kind of the wildcat or the quarterback draw, kind of what he did in Winnipeg. He probably won't throw a pass, but I could see him being used. Or maybe he's just a short yardage guy. Maybe he comes in fourth and one.
That'll be, I think, number one. It'd be short yardage quarterback. But, yeah, he might get used in a wildcat, might get thrown out, might play special teams, might do a few different things. I can see that happening, for sure.
Sorry to interrupt. Chris Clark from the Pats podcast writes in, and he says there's just as many NCAA games in a night as CHL games. Chris, shoot. There's as many games in one NCAA conference in one night than the entire CHL. No, they don't show them
all. I would love to see a little wrap-up, minute and a half of the Western League, the Ontario, and the Quebec League on any given night.
Hello.
Just run it through. Here's what's in a minute and a half. One highlight
from
each
game. Well, actually, you know, when you were talking about putting your sports cast together, because God knows I put together thousands in my career, you got to give people what they want. Why are your sports cast 90% riders? It's what people want.
Yeah.
And I get that. That's why we're giving people here every day what they want. But don't tell me they want women's NCAA basketball. That's my point. If you have to make a choice, then put in junior hockey.
Right.
That's all. To the CFL negotiation window, by the way, I was on the radio this morning in Lloydminster, Alberta. Good guys up there probably watching right now. Bucky and Kurt Price. And they were asking about the negotiation window. We're 2 days into it. Taylor, 3 days, Sunday, Monday, 3 days into it. Taylor, your take on it, how you think it's working.
Well, it would be fantastic if we had any reports about who offered who a contract, and that would be great, but we don't see that. But I think it does work well for some people. We mentioned Cam Judge earlier. I think he would have received a few contract offers, and then he would have taken them back to Jeremy O'Day and said, hey, you know, here's what I'm getting across the league. Do you think you can help me out a little bit? Or maybe he didn't take them back and said, okay, I'm going to take the Riders' initial offer. Because at this point, I imagine people who wanted the guy that they want, they've reached out to them already in day three, and now it's letting those teams know you've declined that offer, so then the teams can now reach out to their number two options, number three options, number four options to see who's out there before the official window.
It seems to be working well.
Yeah.
We don't know the guts of it, but we're not entitled to know the guts of it. Is that fair? We're not going to get... I never expected we'd hear every offer that was made. You wouldn't. We shouldn't. You know, that's their business, in my opinion. Hang on. I see you have another thought. So coming back, we're out of time for hour one. Coming back in hour two, hold that thought. We'll bring that up. And I want to check the poll results, if we may. We'll get to the tie comment later. Clark, if you can cut and paste that. We're having a slight issue. I think Twitter's having an issue. On my iPhone, I can't get the poll results for the question today, and it was only this morning. I thought it was a me problem. They're saying it's an Apple problem. Our poll question today for Capital Auto Mall, Universal Collision Center, is which CFL grad stands the best chance of sticking in the NFL? Your options are Vegas Raiders, Derek Moncrief, Chicago Bears, Trey Roberson, Vegas Raiders running back, William Stanback, and Arizona Cardinals, Chris Streveler. Honorable mention to Chris Jones. Number one, still Derek Moncrief. That's on Twitter with 55.1% of the vote. Number two, Trey Roberson, 35.3% of the vote. How about Will Stanback? He is last in the poll. I bet you he sticks ahead of all these guys. And Chris Streveler is actually in third place with 5.1% of the vote. But it's a fun question, and we'll kick it around more in hour two. Taylor Shire sticking with us. Chris Dingman coming up from the Tampa Bay Lightning broadcasts. And Ben McIntosh of the Saskatchewan Rush. It's home game week for them in our Rush preview for Rockstar Supply Chains. We're giving away tickets too, right?
We got tickets.
It's the Rod Peterson Show. You're watching on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
It's time to trade and upgrade at Capital GMC. We're ready to pay top dollar for your vehicle, and you deserve an upgrade. Check out this loaded, certified pre-owned 2019 Chevy Impala. Its Capital GM buyback resale event price is only $21,215 plus tax. That's half price from its original MSRP. Or upgrade to the certified pre-owned 2019 GMC Acadia for just $31,882 plus tax. Happening for a limited time at Canada's largest certified pre-owned dealer, Capital GMC in Regina.
You need to adapt and you need to move forward. You can't be stuck in 1920. Direct West is on the top of their game. They know what they're doing, how they're doing it, and when you work with Direct West, things are good. There's no going backwards, they're moving forward. My business would not be where it is today without the help of Direct West to help me with my website and my Facebook and all my online presence. I've worked with Direct West for about 10 years, and it's been a great experience.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
A man's personality and character is exuded through his haircut. Your image is important. Our high-end services range from a traditional haircut and shave to gray blending, beard shaping, and unwanted hair removal. Located at 425 Victoria Avenue East, book your appointment online now at modernmen.ca or call Tammy 306-522-4111. Modern Men, a haircut for the modern man.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.